I thank you, God. I thank you, God, Lord. I thank you for worship. I thank you, God, Lord, that we could come and, Lord, that we come into the awareness of the greatness of our God in the midst of worship. That we come awake and alive with the understanding of who you are. There's none like you, God. In the midst of that, I say thank you, Jesus. I thank you for my breath. I thank you for boldness. I thank you for boldness that we be unashamed to worship you. That we're in an audience of one. We are in the audience of one. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus. Oh, thank you. In Jesus' name. Come on, give him praise. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, give him glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Children may go to the classes. Hallelujah. I really felt that we are in the audience of one. Doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. Come on. Come on. Amen. Hear me tonight. Doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. God says it's me and you tonight. Come on. It's me and you tonight. Come on. It's me and you. Come on. Amen. Do you hear that tonight? God says, I want it to be me and you tonight. I want you to worship me. Because when you begin to worship, it's like opening up, come on, a doorway. Woo! And seeing all the availability and all that God is. Enter his gates. Enter his gates. Hallelujah. Enter his courts. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, praise team. Come on, one more time. Give him praise. Amen. Hallelujah. You know you got to stop or I can't preach. Come on. I just got to keep on going, man. Amen. Well, I just want to give you, I just want to share something with you. I want to give you a word that was in my heart. Well, actually, let me give you the down low. We've been busy. I've been working, I think it's 20, tomorrow's 21 days straight. And, man, it's weary. It's tough. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to let you in on something. The more I press into him, the more strength I get. Come on. I'm telling you, the more strength I get, the more empowerment I get. Come on, amen. That I rise from my bed and I head on out, man. I want you to know that God gives. I begin to pray in tongues. I begin to pray in the Spirit on my way there. And by the time I get there, they ain't ready for what's getting out of that truck. I'm going to say it again. They're not ready for what's getting out of that truck. Come on, amen. Because I've entered into the presence and I'm bringing them with me. Come on, amen. I'm bringing the presence of God. You walk into your workplace. Come on, amen. You walk into that place with the anointing that's upon you. Come on, amen. You begin to pray in the Spirit, asking God to move. Hallelujah. Move like you do, God. Amen. Move. Walk with expectation. Remember, we serve a God. Come on. Of expectation. I feel that in my spirit. Hallelujah. I just feel expectation. Amen. I believe that. I'm going to tell you, praise team. I felt this when I was there. God says, you tell them they're on rehearsal, that they're preparing for overflow. I want you to know that you're worshiping in front of a small group. I want you to know, and you worship with all your heart. Come on. Amen. God's going to unleash and God's going to fill this house. Hallelujah. Because it won't overwhelm us. Do you know why? Because we worship with few. Hallelujah. And we'll worship with many. And we are in an audience of one. Remember that. We're in an audience of one, hallelujah, of one. Come on, amen. That we're not intimidated by the faces, hallelujah. And we lift up our hands and bless his name. That's not where I'm going. But I just wanted to say that in the midst of God's faithful. So I didn't have time. I didn't have the time that I like to have to allot to give God so that I can prepare a message. You know, I spend a lot of time. I spend a lot of time waiting on God for a word. I just don't fly by the seat of my pants or pull something out of my. God doesn't let me do that. He really doesn't. He doesn't let me do that. But as I was driving last night, I was driving home, and God began to speak to my heart about something. And he began to put something in my heart and began to, all day long, begin to prepare a sermon. Amen. So I want you to receive it. Amen. So I'm going to receive it. It's going to be a blessing to you. Amen. It's going to be a blessing. Are you warm? Okay, I'm a toasty, so we'll let her go. That's what you need to do. If you're cold, you need to worship, man.
Man, you need to worship, man. I tell you what, it gets you going. I'm ready to go. Amen. I'm going to catch a cold because I'm going to sweat here. I'm hot. Are you hot? Oh. Let's check out. Listen, I literally was looking at this version of it in Luke. But while I was sitting in my office, I just felt that God was pulling me this way to Mark. So let's look at Mark. It's in Mark 5:21. And I want you to hear this, that this message is something that was, I mentioned before, but God brings things through a different door. Come on, a different avenue sometimes. Because I've preached almost everything in the New Testament. But God brought it through a different door for us to take hold of. And the thing that God has been speaking to my heart, I'm going to kind of emphasize a little bit more on Wednesday night. So come on out and give thanks. Thanksgiving Eve is one of my favorite services. It really is. It's a time, it's a place of honor. I bring an offering unto God, and I just come and just be thankful. Amen. Just have a good time and just be thankful. And just put God first and say, God, Lord, hallelujah, I'm thanking you. I'm thanking you for another year. I'm thanking you for another day. I'm thanking you, God, for family. I'm thanking you for what's not so it will be. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm thanking you in beforehand. Amen. Because He's the God of expectation. Amen. Okay, so let's look at Mark 5:21, and I want you to lay the groundwork for this because something happened, and in the Luke version, it says that they were waiting for Him. These people were waiting for Jesus. Listen, I want you to know that God wants you to wait for Him. He wants you to wait for Him. And I want you to know that Wednesday, Friday night, God spoke to my heart in our prayer. And the thing that God stirred my heart was that I'm going to place a hunger within you. When He speaks to me, He's speaking to you. I'm going to put a hunger within you. And when I put the hunger within you, that God, He says that God's going to return. And He wants to see what I did with that hunger. I feel God challenged me that way, where that I'm going to put something within you, and He's going to put something within us that we begin to hunger. And He says, don't let it get away. Come on, amen. Don't put it aside. Come on, amen. Because sometimes what we do is we begin to seek something else. We begin to find something else. We let other things delay that or try to fill us up. And God says, no, make me your hunger. Make me your favorite. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? Make me your favorite. Come on, amen. I hear God saying, make me your favorite. Make me your number one. Amen. Your first priority. The thing that pops up first. Let it be me. And as He began to spoke this, it says they were waiting for Him, and they were waiting for God to because the reason why is because God, do you remember that He went to the place, and when He got there, there was a guy that was bound, and He says he was in chains, and he come running out, and Jesus delivered him. And it said he found himself sitting at the feet of Jesus. This is what happens when we get close to God. Amen. When we let Him satisfy the thing within us, the thing that is causing us issues, the things that have made us be chained to things or be bound to things or be kept in prisons in our lives. But when we get in Jesus' presence, when we're at His feet, it says that He was in the right mind. He was completely clothed. Come on, amen. And He was completely clothed. Man, see, that's where God wants us to be, clothed. That we're not ashamed, that we have a desire to. Because that example of that means that when you feel ashamed, that you don't seek God. Come on, there's something within man that sometimes whenever you don't seek Him, you go the other way because there's a shamefulness within us. But as you get in His presence, it makes you more hungry for Him. I can't get enough of them. It's messing me up. Say amen. Listen. And as he went there, he told him, listen, I want you to go back. Because he says, I want to go with you. He says, no. I want you to go back to your city. And I want you to tell them what I did. I'm going to tell you something. This guy took his testimony. I want you to know that God wants you to meet Him so that He can give you a testimony. When you go through your crap, God wants you to meet Him. Whether anybody follows you or not, you go meet Him. Because he wants to give you a testimony. I feel that. Come on, I want you to catch it right now. I want you to grab hold of that. God wants you to have a testimony. Because when you testify, you were made to glorify God. And without a testimony, you have nothing to glorify God about. You can't make something up. God wants to give you a testimony. He wants to put something in your spirit. God wants to do something within you that you can't help talk about. You can't help overflow. Come on. You can't help let out what's within you. Come on. When you get close to Him, when you sit at His feet. And I want you to know, that's why everybody was waiting. Because of Him. That He told him, He says, that He touched me. Whoa, He touched me. And now, He's made me whole. Right, Beth? That He touched me, and now I'm whole. Listen, that song He said, He says, He made me whole. I want you to know, listen to me, that means that something's missing. And you will search your life, we will search our lives. We will search everywhere we go to find that place to be whole. In your marriages, come on. In your relationships, come on. In your church, come on, amen. I want you to know that we need to meet with God. Come on, we need to gather more on Friday nights. Come on, I love the group that we have, but we need to be desperate and hungry. We need to get together and pull down heaven. Come on, amen. Desperation touches heaven. Come on, hungerness touches heaven. We got to get hungry. Come on, we got to dive right in. We got to get to that place, amen. Or whenever it is. Listen, I want you to know that before service, come on, the praise team goes back here. 6 o'clock. Go pray. Go reach for heaven. You can't get on Friday. Get back here and pray. Pull down heaven. Amen. Come on. Amen. We're going to be a praying church. We're going to be in prayer. I want you to know that I've studied the moves of God. Not like a movement for a God. Movement. I'm looking for a move of God. I'm looking for God. Because I know God moves. And I know God changes things and God does things. So I want you to know that He never does anything outside of prayer. He will not do anything outside of prayer. Any move of God, it required prayer. It required people reaching to heaven. Come on, amen. It required people getting on their knees. Come on. Some of the men and women of God, man, I tell you what, you know, they were hungry because they spent hours praying. They had a team that would go before Him into every city, different men and women of God in the 1800s and the early 1900s. They would go to town to town before the evangelist would come forward, and they would pray for a month in that city. A month. And when that man of God came in there, God moved. Come on, I want you to know it just wasn't about that man of God. It was about the movement of prayer. That made the difference. Come on. That means there's a body. Come on, amen. That we're doing this thing together. Come on, amen. Come on. Yeah. Listen. So He had a testimony. God wants to give you a testimony. He wants to give you your testimony. Listen. I want you to know everything that we could to not get here. Every bridge was in this town was shut down that I couldn't get to this church. I told the police officer, I said, listen, see that building right there? She said, yeah. I said, that's my church. I said, I got to get there. Oh, I'm sorry. I said, listen, as soon as that last person's in, you'll be the first to go. All right. And then here comes everybody around me. Listen, I'm playing by the rules, Lindsay. I'm up to the barrier waiting for it to open up for me. And everybody else decided, you know how people are. The praise team passed me up. Go ahead. I hope you got a word, man. Go. Listen. They passed me by, and I'm sitting there. I couldn't get into church. Then all here comes Sam. Poof, there goes Sam, Pastor. I felt like everything that could keep me from coming. I left my house at 3 o'clock and got here at 10 after 3 or 4. 10 after 4. I live 15 minutes from here. Hallelujah. Satan, you have no power. I'm here. Amen. Come on. Amen. Come on. Listen, the testimony to create an opportunity for God. If He did it for Him, He'll do it for me. I want you to know that, listen, God will take the lowest. Come on. He took the lowest. Come on. The one that was on drugs, He took the low. He will take the lowest. The one you don't think God will ever use you. You have nothing to give. You don't have a song to sing. You don't have this or that. I want you to know that God will use you, because when God does that, everybody else watches and says, if God used him, God can use me. And everybody there said, I need to get there. Hallelujah. So God will push you. He'll do something like Kiana or Ken. Kanye. Come on, somebody says, is that real? I'm going to tell you something. I don't know, but I'm watching what happened, the result of it. It's the number one album. The number one, isn't it, Matt? The number one album selling in the United States is called Jesus is King. Come on, amen. It's called, I don't care what else happens. It's called Jesus is King. God will get the glory. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. He's used a donkey. I was going to say jackass, but I didn't want to say that. Oh, I did. Listen, Luke 13:18 talks about, tell someone this is the kind of faith he wants you to have. When you start thinking about the kind of faith God wants you to have, you're thinking about skyscrapers. Something big. Tell someone something big. Man, I want you to know, listen, God says you just give me your little. He says you give me your mustard seed. Next verse. He says, this is it. He says, it's like a grain of mustard. If you don't know what mustard seed looks like, you take a look at it and you find it. I mean, it's the smallest of all seeds. God says, give me that. Meet with me, and I'll cause you to grow into a tree. I'll cause you to be so rooted, so deep in me, that others will flock to you. Because you're a refuge. Because you're stable. I want you to know the world's looking for stability. Nothing wavering. But they want a faith, somebody that's standing strong, believing yesterday God was good, but today he's not. But somebody that says he's good all the time. He's good all the time. Though I make my bed in hell, he's with me. Come on, amen. So he says this. He says, and he asked me just a little bit. So let me jump into this. I want you to get this. You okay? Promise? All right, where am I going? Okay, yeah, 5. Listen, it says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea in the country of Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship immediately, after that happened, this is in verse 21, 5:21, Randy. And when Jesus passed over again his ship to the other side, much of those people that were there, he came back again and they were there. They were waiting for him. And it says, and he was nigh unto the sea, and behold, there come one, his name was a ruler of synagogue, his name was Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell to his feet. He was looking for him. He came with expectation. And he was a ruler. I want you to know that sometimes we get to a place where that we ruin our lives. Sometimes we feel like we're ruling our lives, but when something comes our way that we experience and we realize that I'm not the one in charge. I know the one thing that devastates people, that causes you to make you aware of it, is death. When it comes by you, it causes you to beware that you're not in control. Tell someone, I'm not in control. I want you to realize this, because this man came to a place where that he was a ruler. He knew how to rule. He knew what it was to rule. We know how to rule. We know how to think that we know how to rule. But when everything began to crash down because his only daughter was sick, she was taken unto death, that she was ready to die, that she knew that he had to go to one that was greater than he was. He came to a place within himself that he needed God to reign in his mess. He was looking for God to reign over his situation. I want you to know that there's things in our lives that I'm promising you. Either you let God reign in our lives, or they will reign in our lives. Something will reign in our lives. And sometimes some people are even unaware of it. They get caught in the world, in the system of the world, and just go by. And that whole thing's causing them to live in a defeated place. But he said, he came to that place. I have a couple of scriptures, but I just want to give this point here. And he says, and behold, there cometh one as a ruler of Jairus, and his name means God's enlightened. That's what his name means. God enlightens. I want that to follow my name. That God enlightens me. I need God to enlighten me, to awaken me, to cause me to be aware that I need Him. That's the most dangerous place, is when I'm not in a place of desperation for God. Because in those moments of vulnerability, something will try to reign in my life if I don't let God. I promise you, something will try to reign. Whether it's depression, whether it's addiction, whether it's disease, or whether it's past pains, or no matter what those things are, something will try to reign. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus, hallelujah, He took my place and He gave His life for me. And He went to the grave taking all those things that reigned in my life. Come on, amen. He overcame them, and now I have the opportunity to let Him reign. To call Him Lord. So he had an idea of knew what. He said, I'm going to go to the top. He didn't go to anybody else. He didn't go to the best physicians. He went to Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he went to that place. And I want you to see something. And I just want you to catch this part here. I'm going to be short. So I want this to be boom. So come with me. Amen. Just grab it with me. Listen. But something happened. Like everything does that will challenge God reigning in your life. Something gets in the way sometimes. Something will try to interrupt you from letting Him reign. Can I get an amen? Listen. And he says, and he began to cry out to Him. He fell to His feet, showing Him. He says, He gave Him lordship. He said, I place you above me. I place you above me. Come on, amen. And he says, man, I just got to say this. In my weakest place of realizing how much I need Him, I'm at my strongest place. When I am in an awareness of how great He is and how weak I am, I'm strong. I'm telling you, I can never feel any stronger. Amen. In that midst of that. And he said this. And he says, and he besought Him greatly. He was crying out to Him. He says, my little daughter, she lies at the point of death. I pray you. I cry out to you. Come on. Have you ever cried that way to God? Come on. He says, I cry out to you. He says, to lay hands on her. To touch her. Come on. Say touch her. I'm just asking you to touch her. I'm just asking you to touch her. I just need you to touch this situation. We need to ask God to touch this situation. Come on, amen. We need to ask Him to touch whatever that thing is. God, I need you to touch it. Hallelujah. Whether it is my mind, whether it's my thinking, Jesus, I need you to touch it. Come on, amen. I want you to know that every time I have a bad thought, come on, when the enemy tries to get me to be discouraged, I want you to know what I've been declaring every time I said, Jesus, touch it right now, God. Touch it right now. I need you to touch it, God. I need to be in right mind with you, God. Touch my mind. Hallelujah. When my body's weary, I say, God, you got to touch my body. Touch it, Lord. Hallelujah. Because whatever you touch, you make whole. But the enemy will come in, well, you ain't whole yet. Listen, I want you to see the challenge that comes right now. Right now. He says there's a battle that's happening within this man. All around him, there's a battle going on to see what reigns in our lives. There's a battle that we don't see. That's beyond what we can see in the natural. Do you know that? He says that there's a battle, principalities and powers. Not of the flesh and blood, but spiritual. And he said this, and he says, and he besought him greatly. He says, lieth at the point. He says, come lie your hands on her, that she might be healed, and that she might live. There's faith right there. If you touch her, she'll live. If you touch her, she'll live. And he says, and Jesus went with him. And much people followed, and they began to throng around him, and they began to overwhelm him. And all of a sudden, say all of a sudden, Jesus disappeared in the midst of the crowd. And while he was in line, come on, amen. I want you to say, I was in line. I was before you. See, here's where everything changes, and we have to be aware in our lives. I'm telling you, I feel this. I want us to catch this. I want you to get this. At that moment, there was a decision to be made, because this man had to make a decision, because Jesus was stopped in his tracks. He didn't play by the rules, first come, first serve. Because this woman touched him. I have a whole sermon on that right there, but I'm not going to go there because it'll take too much time. But this is what I want us to see. At that moment, he had a decision whether or not he was going to be mad because Jesus stopped what he was doing. This is his little girl. And when Jesus turned away, there's times I'm telling you, you felt like God has turned away. But I want you to know at that moment, we need to make a decision on whether or not we stay there or we move on. Count our losses. See, because something happened. Listen. She butts in the lines. Can you look up Psalms 119, 165? 119, 165. This is what happened. What do you think would have happened? How do you think we would have reacted? I want you to know the first thing the enemy will do, he will cause offense within you. And in the offense that you feel about God, that maybe God doesn't love you, maybe God doesn't care about your priorities. Come on. Maybe God doesn't care about your prayers. Come on, I want you to know that, listen to me, we cannot let the enemy distract us. Come on. Because that's not who he is. Hallelujah. He loves us. Hallelujah. God's good. Hallelujah. All the time. Amen. That's who he is. He desires to bless you. Come on. He desires to bless you. He lives to bless you. Come on. Amen. He lives in that place that you can experience his joy, his peace, his wonderment of who he is. But at that moment, he could have been offended. Every right to be offended. There's times that we could be offended. And I want you to know that being on the offense in that moment, you'll miss your blessing. That's all the offense does. You'll miss your blessing. Great peace have I. They have they which love thy word. The law means word. And nothing shall offend them. Nothing. So I want you to know that when you love His Word, when you trust His Word, you'll let nothing offend you. Oh, Pastor Chris, no. Nothing. Because the Bible says this in Romans 8. Look at this up. Romans 8, 13. Look, check this out. Well, you know what? I got it. I think. I think I got it in the Amplified. Are you okay? Listen. I'm going to highlight it. For if you are living according to impulses of the flesh, you are going to die. If I live in a place of offense, it will rob me of my blessing. Because this is what I mean by this. Because I'm living outside of letting God rule. Letting Him reign. See, when I take that offense and hold on to it, I stop. And that offense rules me. Are you? Come on, I want you to get this. That offense stops me. And at that moment, either I let God heal me, or it halts me. Keeps me from moving on. You okay with this? Listen, I want you, Exodus. This is what says in Exodus. The Lord will fight for you, and you will only be silent. I want you to know that God wants to reign. He does not want the offense to reign. And that's what happens. See, because God will heal you from the inside. He will make you whole. What that offense does is it causes you to become missing of something. Unforgiveness causes you to stop. Listen. And he says, impulses of flesh, you're going to die. But if you are living by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death the sinful deeds of the body, and you will really live forever. You'll really live. That's when you begin to live. I want you to know that offense will stop you. But giving it to God. Come on, amen. Tell someone you got to give it to God. You got to give it to God. Come on, amen. I want you to know it'll rob you of your thinking. Come on, you will rob you of your thinking. Come on. There's sometimes my wife offends me. Not that much. I do more than her. But I want you to know that if I stay in that place, I forget about the goodness. I forget about what she is. I want you to know that every time I do a marriage, I always tell this, it's called the 3-mile rule. Come on, amen. That when I leave the house and I'm offended, I give God 3 miles and begin to think and be thankful for her. And begin to think about the goodness. Begin to think about how great she is. Begin to think about the good things. And by the time I get to 422, I'm calling her on the phone and say, baby, I love you. I love you, baby. Okay? She ain't offended. She was good with it. He said, what are you mad about? But I want you to hear this. I want you to know. Come on, amen. If I would have walked out of that place, it would have robbed me of that joy all day long. It would have taken from me. Come on, amen. But letting the Spirit of God, hallelujah, work up in you. Come on. Letting God reign over the offense. Come on, amen. You could be justified about it. You could think yourself you're right about it. This man had every right. It was his daughter that was dying. But he chose to stay. Maybe she needs it right now. Because He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I'll wait another moment. And He did, Dan. He waited. And Jesus came back around. Listen, I want you to hear this. Come on up, man. Let's do Everby. I told you I was going to be short. Say amen. I got to stop because I'm sweating so bad right now. You okay with me? Amen? We're going to be a shouting church. Psalms 97:1, when I get to this next part, I want you to see this. He says, the Lord reigns. Say, the Lord reigns. Let all the earth, let the many islands and coastlands be glad. See, that word islands means those that feel isolated. You ever felt like you're on an island? You could be in the middle of a crowd, but feel like you're in the middle of an island. Feel like you're alone. You know who's there? Raining, waiting for you to say, come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. And he says, the clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. God's right. When we trust God, He does things right. You might not understand, you might not know, but God can turn it like this. When you think that there's no hope, He's just. And He says, fire goes before Him. I want you to hear this. And it burns up His adversaries on all sides. I want you to know something, that listen to me. When we get at His feet in His presence, do you know what happens? Our adversaries are consumed. That's why we need to be in His presence. That whatever thing that is battling against you, that thing that has come against you, what happens is it's consumed. You might not think some of these are your enemies, but when we get in God's presence, He takes care of whatever is your enemies. That you can't see is battling against you. That thing that's come up against you. Hallelujah. There's times that I don't understand what's going on. I need to get in God's presence. And say, God, whatever's against me, hallelujah, consume it right now in Jesus' name. Whatever it is. Listen. So here's what He says. This is the end of the story. And it says in... Where's it at? Here. And it says He touched, and then this is, and while you yet He spoke, He says, the ruler came from the synagogue, and He says, thy daughter is dead. Say, she's dead. He says, why troublest thou, master, any further? I don't want to trouble you anymore. She's dead. And He says, and as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken. He said unto the ruler, I want you to know, he came back, he stayed in that place. He didn't go and upset, but he stayed there. He gave God opportunity to give him a testimony, to give him praise. I want to give God opportunity. I want to stay in the place that He's called me to stay, to trust Him. Don't let offense take hold of me. Don't let it rob me of my testimony. Don't let it rob me of who He is in my life, that He wants to reign. And it says that He went to that place. And I don't want to get into the rest of it. There's more there, but we could do it Wednesday. But Jesus went there. And He called out to this girl to stand. To stand up. To get up. And she rose up. There was something that happened in that moment. That offense didn't reign. Jesus did. Would you stand to your feet? I don't know if there's something that has offended you. I don't know if there's something that's robbing you of your joy. I don't know whatever that thing is. Whatever those things that sometimes cause us to be angry with God or upset with God. I want you to lay it down tonight. I want you to say no more. But I want to say this tonight. That your praise will ever be on my lips. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, God. Forgive us. Forgive us if I've let anything cause there be offense within me. Take it away right now in Jesus' name. Take it away. Lord, if there's offense between my brother or sister, if there's offense between my wife or my sons or daughters or whatever it is, God, Lord, I ask right now. Come on, I want you to ask Him right now. Lord, forgive me. Hallelujah. Forgive me, God. Lord, that it doesn't rob me of praise. Hallelujah. It doesn't rob me from praising Your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank You, God, right now. Lord, do now. Hallelujah. Do Your work. Let us be enlightened right now. Awakened to Your Spirit. And You desire to reign in every part of our lives. We'll give You the glory. We'll give You the honor. We will declare with all of our hearts that we are blessed and highly favored. In Jesus' name. Come on, give somebody a hug. Bless somebody. Amen. Come on back Wednesday.